I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to the program. Glad you could join us here on Thursday. The Michigan Environmental Council is a coalition of more than 70 organizations across our state. It focuses on a number of key issues, from clean energy to environmental justice to land use. Now, with the Paris Global Climate Summit going on and the Pope's recent climate encyclical and so many issues and so many fronts, Greening of the Great Lakes host Kirk Heinze recently spoke with MEC Policy Director James Clift. Their first topic of conversation focused on waste disposal in Michigan and the state of failing septic systems.
You know, a lot of these systems are 30, 40, 50 years old. And Michigan State University actually did a study recently looking at water quality across the state. And what they determined is that these systems are basically failing everywhere and are impacting our inland lakes, rivers, streams. And for us, it was a good reminder is that as we struggle with these algae blooms in the Great Lakes, what can we do? What can everyone do to contribute to improving water quality in Michigan? And we think that one of the programs that's currently being run, I believe, in 9 counties in Michigan, is that you test the septic systems when you sell the property. And to make sure that it's up to snuff, if the drain field needs to be replaced or something like that, it's done at that time. And we think that's a program that really should be statewide, just to make sure that as houses turn over, naturally you make sure that systems like this are working and we're protecting water quality.
Well, James, I have a septic system. I live out in the country, and we've been in the house now for about 15 years and may not be selling it, but it occurs to me that maybe in addition to what you just said, maybe homeowners ought to be thinking about testing their systems periodically.
Well, and sometimes if they've moved from an urban area, maybe out to a place where there's a septic system, they don't know about the routine maintenance that they have to have it emptied on a regular basis.
Right.
And again, and sometimes it's just a matter of that area where it drains into has become clogged over time, and maybe you need to move that drainage field to a new area of the property if that's available.
Well, it strikes me as somewhat ironic. We're so concerned about 50 and 60-year-old pipelines. Well, septic systems are man-made as well. Clearly, they're going to deteriorate over time.
You expect that. And, you know, people in our urban areas, they pay their sewer bill every month, so they're paying a little bit at a time for that same sort of water quality improvement. The people who live on their personal systems have to think of it as their responsibility for that ongoing maintenance.
Yeah, it's one of those issues where you can't use not in my backyard because they're literally in our backyard.
It is.
James, let's talk, and by the way, that Michigan State study, I think that was led by Joan Rose and her group, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Joan and all the great work that she does.
Amazing stuff.
She's amazing. And we need to get her back on the program.
Sounds
as a
good.
Matter of fact. Aquaculture in the Great Lakes. Aquaculture we've covered. We haven't covered it out in the Great Lakes. There are some local aquaculture outfits that have some very interesting closed-loop systems, but in the Great Lakes?
In the Great Lakes, and we think this is just a mistake. If you look at these systems, you know, how much we're struggling with the algae again in the Great Lakes, why would you put these pen cages out in the lakes? You're dumping all that food in. All the waste is coming right out into the lakes. And it's the same as a medium-sized city that would be contributed directly into the lakes. So we don't have them now, but there is some interest by some parties to move into the Great Lakes. So we think now is a time to close the door. There's actually been legislation introduced in the Michigan Senate, Senate Bill 526, that would basically ban them in the Great Lakes and in the connecting water. And our thought is that if you look at that risk that A, you've got the waste issues, but, you know, what if there's a disease gets introduced? You know, how quickly that moves into your natural populations. They've had some real nightmare stories down in Latin America and South America where diseased eggs came in and impacted entire bays. So we're thinking not worth the risk. We're running some great systems on land, you know, in conjunction with greenhouses and things like that. We think that's the way we should go in the future.
Yeah, in the mid-Michigan area, I know there are a couple aquaculture outfits that are very progressive in terms of closed-loop systems and reusing water, very environmentally friendly. I mean, when you have these options, why even consider the Great Lakes?
Yeah, if you're looking at sustainability, and sometimes they raise the issue of, oh, we have to figure out how to feed the planet. Well, feeding the planet is these closed-loop systems, you know, that look to using the resources we have, reusing that wastewater to feed plants. That's sustainability. That's the future. that's where we should be putting our eggs in that basket.
And so that, again, that Senate bill, did you say 526?
526, Senator Rick Jones here.
Oh, Rick Jones has introduced that. Yes. So, so people out there, we need to keep an eye on that. Prospects of getting that passed good at this point? Or
I think so. I think there's a lot of interest in the bill. We're hoping for a hearing this fall. But we'll be looking forward to working on that one.
And the Michigan Environmental Council is making sure that there's a lot of interest in this bill, right?
We're trying.
Yeah. Remind our listeners what it is that the Michigan Environmental Council does.
Yeah, so we're a coalition of environmental conservation, faith-based groups across the state. And we try to be their kind of their eyes, ears, their mouthpiece in Lansing. So we're working with the state legislature, working with state agencies to make sure that we develop good policy, adopt it, and then follow through and make sure we implement it to protect Michigan's environment.
Well, speaking of protecting Michigan's environment, the pipeline, the Enbridge pipeline, not only in the Straits of Mackinac, but the development down near Stockbridge, Michigan, with the huge storage tanks and what have you. Let's start with the task force report. What was your reaction to that report, and when are the next steps going to come?
Yeah, again, things always move a little too slowly for me, I think, I think the task force report takes some of those next steps that we need to do. And one of the big things I think is, looking long term, that pipe, 60 years old, is not lasting forever. We do not want to wait for a break to say, oh, it's time to replace it. We want to make sure that we're looking into the future and thinking, what are the alternatives to that pipeline being in the lake? Can we route it around the lake? There's some other places where they tunnel underneath water bodies. Could you tunnel under the straits and have it so that pipeline never posed a risk to the Great Lakes themselves? Because we realize in that location, a break would be a nightmare.
It would be catastrophic.
They just did a little testing exercise. And you had to laugh almost. You look at it and the water's calm, and everyone's out there in their waders.
Yeah, the weather couldn't have been better. What happens when they do that in the middle of the wintertime?
Yeah, if it's frozen, you have no access to it whatsoever. The impacts would be catastrophic. So let's think long term. So one of the things the task force is supposed to do is do that alternatives analysis.
Right.
What comes
next? Which Enbridge
next
is supposed to pay for, apparently, right?
It is. Mm. And again, they've recouped their investment in that pipeline. It's lasted a very long time. And we assume, if they want to continue to use that route for getting oil to refineries and other places, that they would be able to recoup whatever investment would come next to do it in a way that didn't put the Great Lakes at risk.
We've interviewed Dan Wyatt on that task force report. And one thing that sort of bubbles through that, if you read it, there was some irritation, Attorney General and the DEQ Director, about Enbridge not being totally forthcoming with some information that was requested. I don't think they're going to have a lot of patience with Enbridge if Enbridge doesn't step up to the plate. I got that impression.
Yeah, I think, you look at the safety tests and things like that, and, 60 years old, you start to see, what are those little signs that tell you that you're starting to see the signs of aging on this pipeline? And unfortunately, when things break, sometimes they can look back and say, oh, we should have, read the tea leaves better there. We don't want to be in that situation this time. We want to make sure that pipeline is taken out of commission before it results in impacts to the lakes.
Let's turn to energy policy and renewable energy, if we could. 10% 2015 renewable portfolio standard. A lot of these measures now are expiring. Where does Michigan go from here in terms of renewable? We hear a lot from Consumers Energy. We hear something from the governor's office, from Valerie Brader and others, that, we can do more, but maybe it doesn't have to be mandatory.
Yeah, I think when I look at energy policy and you look at the way utilities do business, they're still monopolies. So I think this is an area where regulation is required. You've got to make sure that they're acting in the best interest of Michigan residents, Michigan ratepayers, on moving us forward. You look at the 2008 legislation on renewable energy, energy efficiency, wildly successful. Created a lot of economic development in Michigan when our economy was struggling a little bit. $5 billion in different investments on the renewable and energy efficiency side. We look at that and say, okay, how do we keep that going? You know, do I trust the utilities to do it out of the goodness of their heart? Our experience from around the country is that they will not. That the way they make money is to build big power plants and push electricity down the wires. So you need to kind of push them out of their comfort zone, push them into what's the new way of doing businesses. What are these smaller distributed sources around the state that they can use to power the grid to make sure that we still, when we flip the switch, the lights are coming on, but can we do it in a way that better protects our environment, creates more jobs in Michigan, and provides us a future that looks bright for our next generation.
That was Michigan Environmental Council Policy Director James Clift with Dr. Kirk Heinze. Kirk is the host of the environmental segment Greening of the Great Lakes on WKAR's MSU Today. His conversations are an occasional feature here on Current State.